He said, be not drunk on wine, where in excess be you filled with the Spirit, ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God and to Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Part that stood out to me most, be not drunk on wine, where in excess, don't stop there, you know, but be filled with the Spirit. Ministering to God, ministering to the church, to a radio program, ministering to who? Hold on. You're worshiping God and you're ministering to yourself? Why would a guy waste one moment of that time? Very gently, you may be seated. Wait a minute. I'm ministering to myself. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in my heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God and the Father. So I'm really worshiping and loving Him, but somehow that's ministering to myself. And this little statement just floated up to found my spirit, found it, and floated up to it. It says, why would you waste any of that time? When you're ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the way it ministers to you is chicken isn't teaching the duck. The duck's teaching the duck, meaning that your spirit being of the same nature as His, you can understand things He ministers to you. But not only that, there seems to be no capacity that the love of God will continually increase as you worship. If you haven't lived in that, when everything that could happen is happening, you know the worldly sayings, about the time you didn't think any else could go wrong, guess what? Yeah, it didn't. It goes wrong. If you understood that when He begins to minister to you, what kind of things will happen in that area? It's incredible. I tried to preach on different things, and I tried. And I'd go out there and I'd be all ready. Oh, here's a message I really like. Mark. Then I'd get out there and I'd open my mouth and I'd hear all these statements on the journey to the place where love never fails. It's hard for it to develop in you and keep increasing. You have to really work to holding on to fear. However much it has to do with faith, I'm finding out, but I do know. Unless you can believe, it's hard not to have fear. If I'm ministering to myself when I'm worshiping Him, perfect love in that perfected process as on its journey gets rid of your fear, then something had to correspond with faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. So this worship is messing me up. Whew. When it first visited me, if I had not had a foundation, I probably would have really got messed up and went all inclusive. How can anybody be lost when he loves you that much? But thank God I already had a foundation. And now I know what it's going to turn into. Going to turn into an outpouring. Revival. Hallelujah, Jesus. If I stop and start explaining, I'd just start bawling. If compassion is a tangible substance, I now know when compassion's presence, you can feel it tangibly in the service like anointing. But when Jesus was moved by it, 1/4 of the people was healed. All the sick was healed. Well, they were sitting there. She didn't know what it was because she didn't go to the doctor. But your rib area there, the rib. But she jumped up because it was a pain that kept bothering her and was very uncomfortable. And she fell down on the floor. When she got up, she goes, "Oh, it's gone." Well, I tell you what, when you can get preachers healed, you are rolling. Well, Christy's mom is a very strong minister, but her, when they were up in a line, I'm not sure she's in a line, she may have been standing there, and I saw her hips, how would I say, grinding to the point they were wearing out the nerves. And the whole bottom of her feet had went numb. Couldn't feel the bottom of her feet, period. But when she got up off the floor, all the feeling had returned to her feet. Then her mother, that's walking down over in her area. Do you remember when I said, "Boy, does this mean anything to anybody? Dry eye. Dry eye. Something wrong. The tear ducts have dried up. Dry eye," and it was Mark. "And how long had you been coming there?" "Quite a while." And all of a sudden, he just says, "Dry eye." And that was the day that you got healed. This time I said, "Ooh, I hear an infection. Wait a minute, looks like a virus destroyed an eardrum. Who is it?" I think Christy's mother is about, I better not guess that. But her mother is closer to 80. And she got one of those childhood diseases they didn't have a vaccination for. And it totally destroyed an eardrum, and she didn't have one. And the left ear was this side when she was looking at me. Yeah, it was the left ear, and it had been totally destroyed, no eardrum. And so she stood up there, and the Lord just moved on me. And so instead of praying and everything, all of a sudden, I just clamped my hand over the good ear real, real good and says, "Can you hear me?" And she goes, "Yes, I can hear you. Oh, my God." Then she says, my head's burning. It's hot in there. Well, for the eardrums being created in a little factory, I imagine it is hot in there. absolutely walked out. And she was only 3 months old when it happened, and now she's almost 80. Well, then this woman, I just loved her. She should see her. She goes, she walks up from somewhere, and she says, goes up, sits down, makes her right up in the front. She makes her way. Say, what are you going to do? I'm going to testify. She is so bold and running up by herself and everything because the service before that, she's blind. Well, try to quiet that down, you know. I said, no wonder she's so bold to come. I'm going to testify. You wasn't going to stop her, you know. I said, okay. Yes, what? Say that again. I was blind. Yes, but I got healed. Yeah. I said, how do I look? She says, God, you really got a good healing. I did. I think the average age was between 50 and 60 in the meeting. Something like that. About 55 probably was the average age. But still, 10 or 11 people got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I mean, these people looked like they heard everything. But when these things started to happen and we explained the power of the Holy Spirit, who's responsible for it, how it happens, and man, they just started coming up and Holy Ghost just started falling on them. Some of them were a little tougher than others. You know, in other words, a few casual instructions help. In order to speak, you have to open your mouth, didn't you? Then by the end of the meeting with that building and building and building, half the crowd stood up that had already received a healing that manifested. So yes. Could you stand up one more time? Because some things belong to God, and all the glory is one of those things. And this is one of those times. The compassion, the love of God that was present in that meeting. It was so strong, people were just crying and weeping here and there, and the miracles were flowing. It's so good to have a meeting with him like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. For when you do raise your heart and fix it on my presence and my worship, and you do begin to communicate with me in your love, know you not that these are the things of fellowship that I love, saith the Lord, and you will not stay the same. For it's impossible to fellowship with me on the level of love and stay the same. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for the path to who I am and what I have is as sovereign as the cross who provided it. For would I fix it in a certain way that you couldn't put one foot in front of the other until you arrived at all the great things that I have done for you? Be strong. Be strong and of good cheer. Trust me and know this, that I have finished everything pertaining to my operation here, and it is yours for the receiving. So be exceedingly glad and know I've done abundantly above all you can ask or think, and you can walk into it. It is a choice that can be made. For when I pour my love out, the foundation that you have is very important. For when I pour my love out, there's many who do not believe in me, and they state the reasons why in the judgments I must make in the last days, saith the Lord. If you continue on that trail of finding out more about me, and then let me minister to you with my love and compassion, eventually you'll come to the place where I can pour any good thing out on you, and you'll understand who I am, and what I must do. So you'll not be led astray. Stand solid on my word and know that I am a good God. And I am doing those things that must be done, saith the Lord. I believe he wants you to keep praying and build a strong foundation so he can give you more of obviously what has destroyed preachers before us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So some things belong to him. So let's give him all the glory. Hallelujah! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! Woo. Glory! Glory! I can't stand it! Hallelujah! Whew. Jesus. Anytime you can be seated, but I just got to worship him for another song here. So anytime that you want to be seated, but I want to give him a little more glory for a moment. When we was teaching the born again trail, and the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, and teaching and teaching and teaching hour after hour, couldn't get all the teaching we needed into the main service and let him move too. So we came up with an 8:30 to 9:30 that you just started right there and stopped right there purely for teaching. And when we did that, and it freed him to move any way that he needed to move, and the things he needed to do concerning the move of the Spirit and other things. But still, especially for those who wanted to increase and keep increasing and keep increasing, then that morning became probably, it's some of the, I'm not being biased either. I'm not lying. There is some of the best teaching I've ever heard coming out of those 8:30 services. Some of the best. Hallelujah. They sound like they've been taught by more than a person. Sounds like they've been taught by the Holy Spirit or something. It's tremendous. So that freed me to move any direction that he moved at any time. Now in Corinthians, when Paul had to settle confusion, because he says, let one prophesy and the others judge. And if there's a tongues, there should be an interpretation. If they don't keep going all through the service, limit it to three. And then let some of us interpret. And he did all that. And the worship songs, there should be to set an order. He wasn't making an absolute law. He was making order. Because generally a strong person would take over that wasn't necessary movement in God, and that would be it for the service, you know. So we do know he wants his word to be taught, and he wants to be free to move. We know that much, and that's what we've given. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's what we've given. Did I not see the harvest is truly plenteous, but the labors are few? Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth labors. It's in the tongues. That's what he said in the beginning. Well, I mean, why would he want us to pray him? He's the one that Lord Jesus wanted to die. Provide all of it. Why? Why didn't he say, pray, Lord of the harvest, to send forth labor? It seems like, you know, he'd want to do that whether you prayed or not. What does he want from you? See, the authority you have. Explanation a little bit. If Paul knocked God on the ground, and God would, he wouldn't be there on the road to Damascus. Jesus just really knocked Paul, I mean just pow, knocked him down. It's Jesus whom you persecute. I'd think about a persecution career ending, you know, right there. If God picked him out and just random and said, I like the way he rides. I like his nationality. I like the shape of his head. I think I'll choose him. And for no other reason, just because he wanted him sovereign. You know, it's this sovereign. I choose who I want. And then it had knocked him down on the ground and said, hey. Then if he just picks people he wants to save or could go save and not knock somebody and do it anytime he wanted, I could hold him for all my relatives he didn't do that for. But Stephen gave his life. When he held their coats, they were the vote. All of them voted and stoned him. He held her coats when he stoned him. What did he die saying? He died in intercession for Paul. That's where God got his authority. Knocked him down. It's hard to kick against a big cactus in it on the outside. Hard to kick against the pricks, he said. Whew. He studied under the finest law teacher of the day, Gamaliel. I would hate, I mean, I just really hate to be a priest in a synagogue that Paul singled out after he had the fullness of Christ, because he understood as much about the law as anybody. When he got done with them, I bet they were crying or beating on him. I said all that to say this. You think God doesn't want to save every town on the planet? He does. That's why we learned early. Got that part. How long we been doing this? Every Sunday night. 12 years. Been meeting here every Sunday night with who wanted to come. It wasn't like an official Sunday night service that you got downcast looks if you didn't make it. Religious judgment. They met here. And the best thing to let you know what was going on, if Gary had just run up and grabbed the mic and just say some of the confessions. Now, how did the tongues prophesy? This is how they ended. This is how they ended. So don't think that you're not giving me something. Something that I can use as the Lord of the harvest to come and ransack an entire city. Ransack, I mean, leave them all sacked up, born again, and on their way to heaven. Well, here's some of them. Every Sunday night, unless everyone's called it away on a holiday night or something, I don't know. Once in a while, we give people a weekend, kind of weekend. Christmas or something, you know.
We also have Calling in the Lost on Tuesday night. Here's some of the confessions. And what these are things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us, either through the Word or through prophecy, mostly through Dave, that we know is His mind for the prayer center and for Tulsa. So we're taking the steps of the faith of our father Abraham and calling those things which be not as though they already were. So we say it like this. Father, your glory is present at the prayer center. The blind see. The deaf hear. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And the poor, they have the gospel preached to them. A minimum of 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week. We have a minimum of 500 intercessors who are holding up the message that has come to maturity. We are able to get along with each other while the Father works revival in our midst. We say things like this, Devil, we're taking Tulsa from you. In fact, we already have. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, not you. We are in authority here, not you. Devil, get out of Tulsa and take all your demons with you. We declare every captive to be free, every wheelchair emptied, all of them, no exceptions, every artificial help, wheelchairs, crutches, canes, hearing aids, glasses, stretchers, bladder bottles. They may need them when they come. They won't need them when they leave. And we'll have them here as trophies to the glory of Jesus the healer. All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases are healed first time every time. All of them. No exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You healed them all now. That's what we say. And that's what we have. In the name of Jesus. Father, you are provider. Angels are dispatched to gather in all of the finances and everything that is required. Things we know about now and things we don't even know about yet, because you are the God who answers before we call. I speak against the strongholds of lack, and I declare an abundance. Abundance be in the name of Jesus. Therefore, we say there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all and abound with many baskets left over. We have such abundance we can pay the way for many to come and many to go. And we send them out on prosperous journeys for God with abundance in a manner fitting for servants of the Lord. So now, Father, in preparation, I forgive every person their trespasses against me. Father, forgive me all of my trespasses against you. I am freshly washed in the blood of the Lamb, in order that my record in heaven be perfect. Therefore I say, because of the blood and what Jesus did for me, according to my record in heaven, I have never failed God. Father, all that I have is yours. My time is yours. My body is yours. My family is yours, and I own nothing. I am your bond slave. Use me as you will. You are provider for me, my family, and all that I have, and I am available for your use. We lift up the blood-stained banner over this city. Written in the blood of Jesus on the banner are these words: Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, and Tulsa is in revival. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. So, he said, pray, Lord, of the harvest. We have. Does he have something to work with? Oh, yeah. Tulsa's going to get knocked on the ground saying, who did that? Lord? That's right. Recently, he's put the key of love on. First key was the foundational gift key, which was praying in tongues. For the mysteries you're speaking are the mysteries of everything. Christ is in you, to you, and through you, the hope of glory. And when you pray them out, it's his ministry to cause you to understand them. So the edification is an edification gift. It's a foundational gift. Then, when nothing else could give me what fasting does, that foundational gift taught me about fasting. Then it gave me what it couldn't. And then the next key. And the next key. And the next key. But the last key that he unlocked was love. And I did a little bit on it and broke through. And then I'm thinking, okay, I wonder what the next key is. There isn't any. This is it. And I didn't understand all that till I begin to see and study and studied history and what destroyed every revival. I found out I needed what only that key could give me. We're not talking about to walk in power or those things. We're talking about to survive. Why would we think he'd say such important things towards answered prayer when a person wants to believe in a revival and then they're also busy on the side destroying the people he wants to save? Just don't really work very good. Not good at all. you want a broom that sweeps in the direction of real, real revival, you better stay away from greed. Why do you think he says things like this? Go, Gak, see that mountain? Whew. You can say to the mountain, be thou removed, cast under the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. You'll have what you say. Pause. Oh, but while you're speaking to the mountain, if you have aught against anybody, just leave the mountain there, go fix it, come back, and then... did the same thing with money. When you bring your gift to the altar, oops, while you're there, if you have to have aught, you know, unforgiveness, just put it back in your pocket, go fix it. Then come and offer it. Boy, when we unveiled what 638 meant, it sent shudders through the church world. Some said, I can't preach that. Well, don't then. It's not my problem. But I'm starting to understand so many things I couldn't before. Because it didn't have a capacity to. Love is seeming to do that. As I get closer to stopping, it was when I was in Brazil the last time that the love became more tangible, that I could feel it. Standing up on your arm, you couldn't hardly move from it, through it. It's so strong. I said, what is? What? This is, I'm familiar with it, but I'm not quite. It's unusual. And it turned about to be his love, but the manifestation was so strong that it, he told me it was the presence of his genuine compassion, which was tangible and you could feel it. I think the little tag tied on love that we all love the most is can't fail. So, never. Never fails. Well, I just walked so far and I finally just give up on it. You didn't let it cast out enough fear. Then I got to thinking, what's he trying to show me? What did he do? Then I understood it. When there's a fullness of my presence. Yes, sir. What was he moved by? What was Jesus moved by when he healed them all? Was it... you sure it wasn't half of them? Yeah. Wouldn't you love to stroll with Jesus through a children's hospital? Can you imagine what the mamas would do to the city that happened in? Most of our preachers would worry more about the offering for going there. Not ours. I meant representatives of the gospel. He was moved by compassion and healed a good third of them. Okay, three quarters. Oh, come on. That's only seen a couple of times in history. You need to really understand what it is. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Many be called, but few are chosen. What is this few chosen thing? I can tell you the end part of it. One will be to reign with him after. But the other is for the fullness of his things here. I'm in the middle of two chapters now. I don't have all of it yet, but I got enough to tell you some verses. Well, it's actually, they divided that revelation up to two halves of a chapter, a whole one, and then another half. It's still the same teaching. First to be last, the last to be first. Many be called, but few are chosen. God did the call. He did the call. Your part was making yourself chosen. No doubt about the call. He gave the equation there, but unless you whole chapter, you wouldn't understand the fullness of it. But I can tell you what it means. Those that exalt themselves make themselves first. They do it. His kingdom, they come in last. That those that make themselves last, his kingdom, they come in first. Many be called, but this is the basis by which you're chosen. Not only to operate in all he has here, but when all that gets out of you, you're going to be one of them that reigns with. Well, you know, rule and reign, that kind of thing. What is last? When the chapters finish up, what is the word last? Many that are first shall be last, but the last that make themselves last will come in first. One of the most difficult parables in the entire Word of God, as far as I'm concerned, is the one that leads into that one. Well, they hired the laborers and paid them a penny a day, $32. And out of the marketplace where they gathered to go out and work and do jobs, they went. They all went, worked there, and then they went later and all the way up to the 11th hour. And when it come time to pay them, he gave them all the same money. There was a little anger stirred up. People were mad about it. Leads into the rest of that. So, first to be last, last to be first, many be called. Few be chosen. Well, you got your call. What are you going to do with the rest of it? That word last, I'm sorry, it goes beyond servant. That him that is your servant, he'll come in first. Slave. First to be last, the last to be first, but he that makes himself the slave. I mean, you more than belong to him. If I have to give my car up, not that kind of slave. You more than belong to him. Many be called, few are chosen. Chosen for what? To finish up here for him. It's going to be good in heaven. Well, anybody whose pain left your body when we got tongues coming through, and anybody had any pain in your body or anything like that that left, stand back up. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. All right. Woo. What did you have marked in your Bible? Fasting. Yes, fasting. Listen, when he sent the Holy Spirit, he said he'll guide you into all truth. Angels are not your teacher. He is. He'll guide you into all truth. Thy word, it is truth. So where's he guiding me? There's something you can do that activates that process of revelation, knowledge, understanding mysteries, and the path that's only cut for you. So when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself, but you do so for a reason. He that prophesies edifies the church. Why? You speak in the mind of Christ for that moment, for that crowd, and you're giving them information pertinent to what is happening. Well, then when prophecy comes, then you understand the mind of Christ because it's spoken to you for the moment. But when you pray in tongues, it says the person himself is edified. Why? Reason's the same. Prophecy reveals the mind of Christ to the whole church, sometimes the city and the reason. When you pray in tongues, it edifies yourself, but the reason's the same. The mind of Christ, the plan of God, they're all manifest. They're all made known to you, just like the prophecy was made known to the church. See, we know we've won. We know that we're receiving it. We're just being fought on astronomical proportions. But 6 weeks or 3 weeks ago or so, he gave me, I got a glimpse into how Satan fights in that realm, his war machine, and how it worked. And he brought in a class of spirits that seemed to have developed in an ability to break up long time old friendships, and destroy marriages and families. But I don't care if he's going to bring it anyway. He's supposed to stop us with it along the way. No, thank you. I already know he's coming. No, thank you. We're going to expose every step he makes. No gold dusting here. Took me 2 years to get past that one. Had visitations. Angels singing to me through entire fasting times. Out loud. Problem was, I could only one that could hear them. I asked them to sing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. When they sang that was my last test. It was over. Bye. And they've never been back. By now, you're supposed to be in sensationalism, but you're not. You're going to be in a revival. I would rather stack wheelchairs up in the corner than vacuum up gold dust. I didn't lose many.
Well, Brother Robertson, you used to talk about tongues and you forgot. No, I didn't. Well, I can't speak with tongues.
Well, that'll be over when you come up here. Have your whole prayer language. Oh, goodness. You're turning the teacher loose in you as often as you want, just because you want to. You're the captain of your ship. You can be as edified as you want. I used to want to run up slap preachers. Tell me about all the great things that were done. They wouldn't tell you how to get there. So, you come up here. If you can't, you hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if you believe that you have, not to the proportion where you can speak with tongues, then come up here. When he's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement for our lack of peace was laid upon him. With his stripes we were healed. Laid your disease on his back like a burrow. Surely he had borne, in the real word this, our sicknesses, carried our pain. You were loaded down with the weight of every virus, every strain that could ever be invented. We loaded it down on him. He died under the penalty of them at the cross. In your place. Hebrews, he said, this man died once at the end of the world. He emptied paradise out that day, that third day later. Paradise. Great procession followed him to heaven because and everybody born again back dated back to when the world ended and you died with him. Not only your world, but this one. This one died with him too. That's the day he was terminated. At the end of the world, this man died once. So look around you. Anything you can hold on to, that mass fortune you wanted to live so comfortable on right up to the day you died. It's all perished already. It was settled at the cross. They didn't even think here it's going to be there at a little over 7,000 years. Come on, as much as you can collect. It's already scheduled for termination. I'm not going to try to hang on to something I won't have. Of course he'll meet your needs. He's your father. People are afraid to solicit help sometimes, even from a doctor, but I can tell you about God. He'll always come and meet you where you're at. And he takes you by the hand and you both walk out. When you were lost, didn't he come where you were at? Somebody says, well, you don't know my lifestyle. I'm not even worthy of asking. All the problems I have. He didn't come to people who had problems. He wouldn't go to anybody. That's why he came, is because you had problems.